More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, Heart to Heart. New research shows the benefits of feeling cared for. Are you getting the love and care you need? Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Heart to Heart. Are you getting the love and care you need from all of your relationships, from all of the people in your life? We're going to take a look at a new study that shows the benefits of feeling cared for and how sometimes it's even more important to perceive that you're cared for than to receive support. We'll find out more about that.
Fascinating.
As the show goes on.
It really is.
But we are talking with you today about all those relationships and in your life and asking you what makes it difficult to feel as close as you'd like to the people you love. You know, what conflicts or struggles or difficulties sometimes make it hard to connect with the people in your life. Give us a call. Let's talk it out and get those obstacles out of the way so that you can get the love and the care that you need. 877-573-7825.
Well, what I think is going to also be interesting as we unpack this study is that it's not just about you getting the love you need, but it's also going to make it a lot easier for you to show people that you love them, because how many of us work our tail feathers off to show somebody, our kid, our spouse, our parent, our best friend, that we care, that we love them, we're there for them. We work so hard and they still tell us they're not getting it. They don't, that we're not doing enough. They don't feel connected to us. And we're like, what more can I possibly do? Well, this is going to help you as well. So whether you've got somebody telling you that they just don't feel connected to you and they need more from you and you don't know what to do, or you are just not feeling like you're getting the love you need from somebody in your life, we're here to help you today on More to Life.
877-573-7825. You know, the theology of the body reminds us that we were made for love. Before the fall, Adam and Eve were in perfect communion with each other, with God, and when our Lord comes again, we're destined to live all of eternity in loving communion with God and the communion of saints. The most important work that we as Christians can do in the here and now, the best way to build God's kingdom on earth, is to cultivate strong, loving relationships with the people in our life, and to work hard to overcome the obstacles that stand between us and the people that care about us. Working to make strong, loving marriages, strong, loving families, strong, loving communities isn't an add-on for the Christian. It's the primary mission of the Christian life. And I think that's a really important insight of the theology of the body, because I think a lot of us think that spreading the faith means teaching the catechism to people. And that's certainly part of it, but it's a secondary thing. The first part is actually, and the most important work of building the kingdom and spreading the faith, is building relationships that are rooted
absolutely
in God's love.
And helping people see that God really loves them, that kind of love is possible, because so many of us, all of us, are craving love in our lives, and so many of us don't experience it in the daily grind of life from youth on. We just don't feel like it's really there. And when you talk to people who really embrace their faith, very, very often, they'll say, it's when I finally understood how much God loved me. It's when I finally understood that I could be lovable because of God and what Christ did for me, that it really kicks into gear, and they embrace their faith as their own. They truly own it. They want to flourish and grow in it. And so having relationships with people that can open their hearts to being loved and ultimately being loved by God is primary for all of our human well-being as well as for us being able to evangelize the world.
So let's talk it out. What is making it hard for you to feel connected to the people that you love the most, whether that's your spouse and kids or your extended family, friends, whoever it is that you would like to feel closer to? What are the obstacles getting in the way? Those things that are making it difficult to feel as connected or loved or supported from the people in your life. 877-573-7825. We mentioned this study at the very top of the show. University of California, Riverside, did a research project where they were looking at the importance of perceived support and how that relates to a person's experience of stress. So in other words, how important is feeling cared for as opposed to actually getting practical support for your overall sense of well-being when you're going through a stressful time? And what the research found was that it's actually more important for people to feel cared for and supported by their partners than to actually get practical support from them. That other studies have shown, and this study confirmed, that sometimes getting practical support from people makes us feel bad. It can make us feel needy, it can make us feel dependent, it can make us feel criticized, it can make us feel incompetent, and actually undermine our ability to feel secure when we're going through a stressful time. That in many ways it's more important to receive the emotional support, to know that the people are there for you if you need them, and who really kind of get what you're going through,
who make you feel understood and loved,
than it is for you to actually receive practical support from them. And I thought it was a really interesting study because, of course, in a lot of marriage counseling situations, what do we hear?
I just want them to listen, not to fix everything. You know, I don't know a person who hasn't said that at some point in their lives. I know it resonates with a lot of the relationships that I've had where, you know, we'll be talking, my girlfriends and I will be talking, and they'll all agree with that, where they'll say, oh, well, those men, they're fixers, they just want to fix everything, and all we want them to do is listen. And it, I can't tell you, it's been throughout my life where I've heard people say that. I was discussing it with you earlier, Greg, and you said it's definitely not just a woman thing. Men feel the same way.
Well, but the challenge for a lot of men, and this is not a universal male thing, but a lot of men have not learned to talk about anything unless they need something practical from you.
Yes, that's very true.
Right, a lot of men really feel like it's up to them to meet their own emotional needs, and you don't talk about your problems unless there's something specific you need from this other person, right? And so the way a lot of men are socialized tends to be kind of contrary to this idea. But in reality, I mean, even those guys, if you kind of show them how to get that emotional support, how to share that emotional support, they recognize the need for it.
Mm-hmm. It's transformative.
You know, yeah, it really is. So, you know, it kind of highlights the point of the show today, which is that the importance of that heart-to-heart connection, that even in those times when you can't do something practical for someone, or someone can't do something practical for you in the difficult times that you're going through, knowing that they're there, that they get it, that they understand, that they are essentially at the ready to assist you in whatever way you might need them, if in fact you do, is sometimes, in fact a lot of times, more than enough to help you feel better through stressful times. The research actually showed that not only does it help people manage stress better, it helps them sleep better at night, and it contributes to their overall sense of health and well-being through stressful times, to know that they are receiving that perceived support, even in the absence of physical, practical, help.
And it is something that needs to be done genuinely. It mm-hmm. can't be that sort of, I see this so much on social media, let me know if you need anything.
Right.
That is not oh, I'm at the ready if you really need me, perceived support from somebody. That's just sort of like, yeah, I kind of care, but I'm really not going to invest unless you invest and
yeah,
unless you let me know.
It's a social nicety. It's not,
and,
you know,
and it's,
yeah.
So this goes beyond just let me know if you need something. This goes to really, as you said, heart-to-heart connection, truly listening, being there for that person, being empathetic.
Genuinely showing up for each other. So if you feel like the people in your life or a particular person is having a hard time showing up for you, or for that matter, you're not sure how to meet the needs of the people around you and make that connection that you'd like to have, we want to help you overcome those obstacles so that you can experience the love that God wants to give you through the people he's placed in your life. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls. In the name
and
of the
Father,
and
the
Son,
and
the
Holy
Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for literally moving heaven and earth to make a heart-to-heart connection with all of us, of connecting us through the wedding feast that was the cross, opening the doors between heaven and earth and allowing us to have the possibility of total union with you. We are so grateful for your gift of love and the opportunity to have this relationship with you. And your prayer is that we would all be one as you and the Father are one. And so, Lord, we bring to you all the relationships in our lives that we feel aren't what they ought to be. We bring to you all those people that we wish we had a stronger connection with, but for some reason can't overcome those hurdles or can't find a way through. Help us to bridge those gaps. Help us to overcome those difficulties. Help us to find ways to make that heart-to-heart connection we long for with the people you've placed in our lives, so that we can do the work your servant Pope St. John Paul the Great reminded us of in the Theology of the Body, to build those communities of love that represent our efforts to build your kingdom on earth. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and
in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, Heart to Heart, we are talking about how important it is to feel cared for by the people in your life and what that does to help us manage stress, deal with problems more completely. And we're not looking at the challenges, though, that often stop us from feeling as connected to the people that we love as we might like. If there's someone you'd like to make a stronger heart-to-heart connection with, whoever they are, let's talk about what you can do to make it happen. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jesse, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Georgia.
Hi there, Jesse. Welcome to Mortal Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. What can we do for you today?
Well, I guess as a backstory, I should say my husband and I are cradle Catholics. We both serve at our church. We serve in evangelization. But he has had a problem for many years that he has always been a sickly kid, and his mom, and anytime he would have a symptom, she'd say, oh, if you have a headache, oh, it's because your brains are going to fall out, or don't walk there because you're going to fall and you're going to die. And so he was always traumatized by fear of illness and dying. That and his grandfather basically raised him, and he saw him die of cancer. Mm-hmm. So my husband, anytime he has like a headache, he thinks he's got brain cancer. He has a stomachache. Oh my gosh, I'm going to die. I have colon cancer.
Yeah.
But we are constantly in doctor's offices and everything's fine. It's just inflammation or just a cough or, you know, something simple. But he thinks about it to the point where he can't sleep. He's so stressed. He starts to doubt God. I don't know what to do anymore because it's so often. And I guess I should say, little side note, we have a 2-month-old, so the stress is higher, so he starts to feel more headaches and things like that.
Yeah.
And I just don't know what to do. I'm to the point where I feel like he's boy who cried wolf.
Has he ever, now this, you know, people tend to treat this as a medical issue, but it's actually more of a psychological problem. Has he ever received any kind of psychological help for this?
No, he has not. He doesn't want to. He's seen a priest about it, about this issue, And he just said that it didn't really help him, that he still feels like this. He doesn't know why he doubts that this happened.
This is called illness anxiety disorder. It used to be hypochondriasis, but the new DSM has redefined some of those categories. And what you're describing is called illness anxiety disorder. And it tends to be rooted both in traumatic experiences related to illness as a child, but also to a general sense of fear of loss of control. And the problem with it is, like a lot of other obsessional disorders, you end up focusing on the wrong thing, right? There's no way to reassure him enough that he's healthy and he's going to be okay for him to feel fine, because it's not really about that.
You're right. It's
really about working through the trauma that he has left over from, you know, the experience with losing his caregiver grandfather, any of the other childhood issues that are there, and also helping him deal with his fear of loss of control in general. You didn't say anything about the fear of loss of control. I'm kind of assuming that. Does that ring a bell at all, though?
Oh, yeah. I do believe so, especially now that we have a baby.
There you go. So you know, I mean, the best thing you can do for him is to lovingly insist that he get to a good therapist who can help him treat this, and to even go with him so that you can know how to support him if he won't go by himself. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's okay to make this an issue and to say, look, honey, I love you too much to let this continue to affect you and our family. You know, I understand you don't want to do this. Nobody wants to go to a therapist. But you know, I can't keep going down this road with you because it's unhealthy. I mean, honestly, for the person who has this illness anxiety disorder, this hypochondriasis, it's almost like an addiction, right? And going to the doctor is like going to the bar. You know, it makes them feel better the time that they're in the doctor's office, but then as soon as they leave, they're you know, they're back to being anxious about it, and then they obsess more and more and more about their health to the point where it squeezes everybody else and everything else out of their life. So you know, he's not going to want to address this because he really genuinely believes that the problem is some physical issue. It's going to take someone who loves him, you, stepping in and saying, I love you too much to let this go on. I've made an appointment and I expect you to be there. Just like you would with any other serious problem that there might be in the relationship. It's absolutely critical that a loved one step in and intervene in this way. So, you know, you can seek out a local referrals at CatholicTherapists.com. You can contact us. This is something I think we could help you guys with at CatholicCounselors.com. To learn more about our telephone counseling practice, but this is definitely an anxiety disorder that touches on an obsessional disorder that can be, is very, very treatable, but the problem with a lot of these people, they never get the right kind of help because they keep obsessing about their physical health instead of addressing the root causes of the problem.
The one thing that I would present to him in doing this is to say, look, if you seek counseling with this and you're able to sort out the emotional response to your physical symptoms, it's going to do a couple of different things. One, it's going to lower your stress level so you'll be less likely to experience physical illness. On top of that, it's going to be able to help you, husband, sort out the difference between the anxiety reactions and the real physical symptoms, so that when you go to a physician for your physical symptoms, you'll be able to get better care. Because A, that's true, and B, that's going to help him buy into the fact that you're not just saying, oh, it's just all in your head, there's nothing wrong with you. It's going to allow him to feel more control over being able to sort out what is truly physical from what is being sort of over-amplified by the stress in his life. So it'll be good for his physical health on many layers to actually be able to engage with a counselor to help him sort this all out. Yeah,
great point. Thank you for that, too. Jesse, I hope that these ideas will move you forward. And like I said, you can either seek local referrals through CatholicTherapists.com or contact us to learn more about our telephone counseling practice at CatholicCounselors.com. Either way, this is definitely something for a professional to help you with. And it's not going to happen unless you force the issue. Thanks, Jesse, for the call. 877-573-7825. What's making it hard for you to feel as close as you'd like to the people you love? What conflicts or struggles or difficulties are making it hard to connect with the people in your life? 877-573-7825. When we come back, we'll continue taking your calls. We'll also be joined by Julia Dazelski, the Associate Director of the USCCB's Office for Laity, Marriage, Family, and Youth. She's going to be talking with us about how to cultivate that heart-to-heart connection in family life. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you today about making that heart-to-heart connection with the people that you love. Sometimes, as much as we want it, it's hard to get it. So, who are the people in your life that are hard to make that connection with? Those people that you'd like to be closer to, but are struggling to bridge the gap. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Julia Dazelski. She's the Assistant Director of the USCCB's Office for Laity, Marriage, Family, and Youth, and she's here to talk to us about caring in family life. Hey, Julia, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, welcome back from the World Meeting of Families. It's quite a trip. So let's talk about this whole idea of increasing caring in family, and in particular, the spiritual dimensions of caring as well.
Yes, sure. So at the moment, I feel like I'm becoming more and more a caretaker par excellence since giving birth to my little girl 7 months ago. And caring is something that I do every day now, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, in a sense. It's listening to what Miriam is telling me with her cry and responding with a new diaper, a bottle, a nap, whatever it is to make her feel more comfortable. And in much the same way, caring for all our members of our family is that attentive listening and that careful response. But on the spiritual level, caring is like praying. It's an exercise in that listening and response, that heart-to-heart, like you said earlier. Because we voice our needs to God and He listens. He speaks to our hearts and we listen. And this is how our relationship with God is cared for and nurtured. So there is a strong connection between care and prayer because they both start with that humble ask and that vulnerability that comes forth from our need and then that response that care requires. And I like the connection you're making here between caring and
vulnerability. And I guess the intimacy that comes from that as well, being able to be open enough with each other to say what our needs are and to know that those needs will be received, is really at the heart of the intimacy in marriage and family life.
Exactly. Yes. Care actually comes from the word be anxious or solicitous and feel concern or interest. And that's what we do as families. We carry one another's burdens and concerns. And in much that same way, we're doing this as a church today.
You know, what you're saying reminds me so much of one of my very favorite quotes from St. Francis of Rome, who said, you know, if a woman is in the presence of the Lord in the Eucharist, but the youngest member of her household needs her, she's to quit the Lord in the Eucharist and find him again in serving that member of her household, that youngest member of her household. And you're really saying that you're finding a deeper prayer life, a better responsiveness to God through how you're serving Miriam, because you're seeing, I think, I know I experienced this as a mom, an image of your own self, of your vulnerability, of your neediness of God and His loving you through how much you love her and how much she needs you at this moment. And when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, we not only grow closer to others, but to God Himself.
Exactly. Well put, Lisa. Couldn't say it better myself. But Mother Teresa also said that care for the poor was her prayer. Yeah. She each and every day that she washed the wounds of those people, she was also offering up a prayer to God. That was her response to the people of God in that way.
Really good insights. And for all the moms and dads and husbands and wives out there who feel like, you know, their prayer life is offline, they don't just do enough to pray, realizing that caring for each other and caring for your children is
intentionally.
As long as you're uniting that to God's grace and asking God, help me to open up my heart more to this person and love them the way you want me to love them. That's the most beautiful prayer we can all make. Julia, thanks so much for being with us. Of course, if folks would like to learn more about the good work you guys are doing for marriage and families, they can go to foryourmarriage.com. www.marriagefamily.com, the USCCB's website for marriage and family. When we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about making that heart-to-heart connection. Stick around for more to life after the break.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck. Arguments between siblings are inevitable. We all want our children to develop strong bonds, but to do this, it's important to remember the healthiest sibling relationships begin from day one, and I do mean day one. Allow your older child to play some role in the new baby's birth. The status quo is to ship the older sibling off to some relative's house until the new baby comes home, but allowing your older child to participate in some way will solidify your older and younger child's place in the family and their relationship with one another. Whether that's cutting the cord, cuddling their sibling soon after birth, or helping give baby its first bath, we found that if the older child is involved in some way, the baby will be better received and you will lay a solid foundation for a healthy relationship. For more tips on how to foster healthy family life, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And today's topic is heart-to-heart. We're exploring how to make that heart-to-heart connection with the people in your life. Is there someone that you'd like to feel closer to and what's getting in the way? Are there certain conflicts or struggles or difficulties that's making it hard to connect with the people in your life? Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Ken, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Australia.
Hey, Ken, welcome to More to Life from Down Under. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that it's very timely, this topic that you're addressing right now, and that connections are really important between people heart to heart. I'm a disabled person myself, and I'd like to say that sometimes we over-glorify the whole idea of independence. I can see it in my own life. If I just basically focus on just wanting to be independent and forget that the world is made to be interdependent, I actually put a barrier between myself and the people around me, because, you know, I could spend all my time just trying to do things myself to the extent that I'm actually pushing people back and not making those connections which will be good for them and good for me.
No, that's a really great observation, Ken, and I want to thank you for bringing that up, because I think a lot of times when we feel that we are in need of support or help from others, that we're somehow just taking, and that's selfish. But the theology of the body, you know, really speaks to what you're speaking of here, where it talks about two ways to be self-donative. There's the giving-receiving way and the receiving-giving way. Now, when Pope John Paul talks about this, he talks about it in terms of male and female relationships, but I think it's true in general that, for example, we can certainly be self-donative by giving support or help or gifts to another person. But think about it. When you have the opportunity to make a difference in somebody else's life, how does that make you feel? You know, when you've been able to use your gifts or talents to brighten someone's day or to make their life easier or to help give them the boost that they really needed to get where they want to go, how does that make you feel? It makes you feel great, right? They asked for support from you, but they weren't taking so much as they were giving you an opportunity to be a blessing, right? And so there are two ways that we can be self-donative, both by giving of ourselves, but also allowing others to give back to us. And I think that as Christians, we sometimes forget about that and are afraid of being selfish somehow. If we ask for support, if we ask for others to share their gifts with us, the distinction, I would say, between inviting someone to support us and being open to letting them be a blessing to us and being selfish is the degree to which I give myself back, right? You know, if I'm just saying give to me, give to me, give to me, give to me, then yeah, I'm selfish, right? But if I'm really working hard to give to you as much as I am able, and I also ask for the support in return, then we've got that giving receiver, receiver giving dynamic where we can feel like God is using us to be a blessing to each other, and that's a really beautiful thing.
And when you say, Greg, that as long as we're giving as much as we can, that doesn't have to be material or even physical if we're not able to physically.
Well, in the study at the top of the show, we even talked about that.
This can very much be, well, we see it in what Julia was talking about before the break, right? She's experiencing so much by just being able to give to her infant daughter, who can give her nothing back but a smile, or that you know, internal gaze that says, I love you, Mommy, even though I can't do anything else. When we can sit and talk with somebody, when we can listen to somebody, when we can look at them with a connection, that's what makes us feel whole. And so, Ken, I would just really encourage you to really, you know, reflect on all of the times that people were so blessed by Christ just giving to them, and allow people in to be those moments of interaction between you and Christ where you can just say, I'm not going to try to be so independent. I'm not going to try to prove myself and be more perfect every moment. I'm going to let people minister to me sometimes because I am actually ministering to them by being vulnerable, by letting them in, by making that heart-to-heart connection. Allow yourself to realize there's real strength in that. It takes a lot of strength to allow yourself to be emotionally and spiritually vulnerable and open to other people, and start putting a lot of emphasis in strengthening that part of you.
Terrific call, Ken. Thank you so much for the comment. Really important point to bring up in terms of what does a healthy Christian relationship look like. It's not just one person chasing the other person, giving, 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 giving. It is that mutuality that allows us to give to each other and be a blessing to one another. Thanks again. Hey, Lisa, you mentioned Julia, and I need to apologize to Julia
Dazelski. Yes, we do.
I gave the wrong website. It's foryourmarriage.org. I said com. It's foryourmarriage.org is the USCCB's website for marriage and family life. And while we're talking about internet resources, if you'd like to follow us on social media and get more of the resources we talk about on the program every day and more great support, you can like us at Facebook by going to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa. That's with the number two, More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa. Or follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Catholic Counselors. So check that out as well. So foryourmarriage.org for the USCCB, or like us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Catholic Counselors. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about the challenges in making those heart-to-heart connections between you and the people that you care about, whoever they are. Let's talk it out and find out ways to overcome those obstacles here today on More to Life. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Russell, who's listening on Armor of God Radio in Texas.
Hey, Russell. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. I'm a pretty new listener to the program, but recently I had a discussion with my wife, and we ran into a problem on morals with contraception.
Mm-hmm.
And we're almost at a compromise as far as using NFP and her morals on contraception, but I am trying to figure out where my concrete morals as a Catholic have to give way to the compromise in our marriage to preserve the marriage and preserve the happiness in the marriage.
Can you be a little more specific?
So we have been using NFP, but there have been forms of contraception. I don't know how detailed I'm supposed to get on the show.
I appreciate that. Are you talking about using a condom or something?
No actual contraceptive, just a lack of that.
I'm following you.
Okay,
no
you're
problem.
Not completing the act.
Okay.
All right, I understand.
Okay, we're on the same page.
Yeah, gotcha.
All right, so what I'm trying to figure out is, I know that there has to be a compromise, and for me to just say, no, you have to, you know, base everything off of my morals, you know, would be wrong in the marriage itself, because everything would have to come to terms.
Not really, no. Yeah. I mean, let me ask you a question. Are you guys married in the church, or what?
Yes.
Okay. So here's the thing. I mean, I want to, you know, yes, let me say this. You have to be, you certainly have to be gentle, and you have to be patient, and it's important to be understanding. But I also want you to be confident, okay? Because the reason I asked you if you're married in the church is because in this is something that a lot of people don't appreciate. But, you know, when you get married in other places, whether that's in front of a judge or, you know, another church or something, the implication a lot of times is that this couple is kind of inventing their relationship. They get to say what they want their relationship to look like, and then they just want God to kind of rubber stamp it. And the Catholic Church has a very different vision of marriage, okay? When a couple gets married in the Catholic Church, what you're really saying is, I feel love for this person, but I don't really know how to love them, at least not the way God wants me to. But I believe that the church has the ability to teach me how to do that. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life learning how to live this Catholic vision of love so that I can love my spouse the way God wants me to. And I'm going to be a disciple of that love for the rest of my life. So when we get married in the church, you know, one of the reasons we don't get to write our own vows is because we're not saying what we want our marriage to be. We're saying, I want to apprentice the Catholic vision of love and sex and marriage. Okay? So the fact that you both got married in the church means that, you know, that even if your wife, or you for that matter, are struggling with certain teachings or struggling with certain aspects of the Catholic vision of love, you have promised each other in the sight of God and the community of the faithful that you're going to live that vision out. So even though you do need to be compassionate to your wife's concerns and sensitive to her fears and patient while she works through her doubts, you also need to be confident as a man of God calling your wife on to living out this Catholic vision of love, because that's what she promised you the day she got married in the church to you.
Now, of course,
that's what
means,
you promise each other.
Yeah, to each other. And that means you not compromising. That means you stepping up in a big way. That means you really exercising the virtue of self-discipline. That means you really getting educated on natural family planning and being part of a support system in that. That means really stepping up the loving, romantic friendship side of your relationship during times when you need to abstain so that she feels loved and you feel loved and you make a connection.
And
then
she
when
can
you,
trust you.
And she
really
can trust
you.
You're building that trust with her. That's the man of God every woman wants, and that's frankly the kind of woman every man of God wants. Somebody who is really able to be trusted and still supportive. And so I would really encourage you to pray about that together, to make sure you're praying together every single day, where you can just know that you're not just relying on your own desires or your own self-discipline within itself, but you are working together to discern what God wants for your marriage, to ask God to give you the virtues that you need, to ask God to give you the love for each other, where you're loving each other and working for each other's good and not falling into using one another. There are lots of ways to ramp this up and be a better husband and a better witness of God to her than just compromising.
Well, and you know, you're talking about praying together. How do you do that about
yes.
this in particular? I mean, the simple version, Russell, is to every day for you and your wife to say, okay, God, you know, this is where I'm at with this. You know, these are my fears about using NFP, or these are my reasons why I want us to use NFP, and this is what's on my heart.
And this is when it's difficult for us, yeah.
Lord, help us to know your will for our lives and how to let this unfold so that we can love each other the way you want us to love each other and be true to the promises that we made at the altar to love each other, not the way we just want to, but the way you want us to. So you bring those kinds of prayers to God every day and work through the specific struggles that you have. I'm going to suggest two resources. Well, three resources for you, actually. Number one, I'd like you to get in touch with the Couple to Couple League at ccli.org. There are lots of great NFP organizations, by the way. I don't mean to take anything away from those groups either. If you've got a good group that you're part of, then awesome. You know, whatever method you're using is fine with me. But CCL in particular is doing an outreach where, you know, they're not method specific as they used to be. They're really just working hard to support all couples in using whatever methods of NFP they are trained in, and helping couples get the emotional and relational and practical support they need to do this well and get the ongoing continuing education, they need to do it well. So ccli.org for the Couple-to-Couple League International will hook you up with additional resources and really good person-to-person support. The second resource I'd like you to pick up to learn more about how you and your wife can really pray through this together, our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love, it talks about how to cultivate a really meaningful marital spirituality that invites God into your everyday life, that invites God into your conflicts, that invites God into discerning the big answers to big questions, that invites God into your physical relationship as well. How can you do that in a way that's really meaningful and deepens the intimacy and love in your relationship? That's Praying For and With Your Spouse. I think it'll be a really good blessing to you and help move these conversations forward both spiritually and relationally. The final resource I'm going to suggest to you is our book, Holy Sex, which really zeroes in specifically on the kinds of questions you're asking here. And if you and your wife could go through that book together, chapter by chapter, and really address the questions at the end of each chapter and sort of look at what is the Catholic vision of love and why does the Church promote natural family planning exactly? And to see it not so much as we got to follow the rules, but to see it as an invitation to a different kind of relationship, I think would be really eye-opening for both of you. So check out those three things, the support you can get from the Couple-to-Couple League at ccli.org, the prayer support and learning how to pray through this that you can get from Praying For and With Your Spouse, and then also that deeper look at the invitation to deeper love that is the Church's vision of love and sexuality that we talk about in Holy Sex. You can pick up those resources at CatholicCounselors.com.
And I would really second that one, Greg, that the idea of you reading through Holy Sex together so that you're not just saying, well, I can't compromise as a Catholic, and you just have to go along with that. There's too much like rule-boundness in that, where there is such gift in this kind of lifestyle, and this understanding of the lack of use and real love in a marriage that we will just be opened up to by reading those pages together. I think it will really bless your marriage.
We even have a chapter in there on negotiating conflict about sexuality, so I think those guidelines will be really helpful for moving this conversation forward. Russell, thank you so much for the call. God bless you for being a faithful man who really wants to move this forward in your relationship. We need more guys like you, and I hope that these resources will help you live the love that God wants for your marriage. 877-573-7825. We are talking with you today about making that heart-to-heart connection between you and the people in your life, whoever they are, your spouse, your kids, your family, friends. If there's someone you'd like to feel closer to, but something's getting in the way, let's find ways to remove that obstacle and let God's love flow. 877-573-7825. We'll be back with more of your calls and questions when More to Life continues after the break.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and we're talking with you today about making that heart-to-heart connection. If you are struggling to feel as close as you'd like to someone you care about, give us a call. We'll find some ways to break through those obstacles at 877-573-7825. You know, we got a call from Australia earlier in the program, which reminded me we just got a copy in the mail yesterday of the Indonesian edition of Parenting with Grace.
It's really cool looking.
Very cool. It's actually, they did a beautiful job with it.
I want them to do all our covers.
I can't actually read it because I don't speak Indonesian, but it looks really awesome. And what I thought was really cool about it in particular is that Indonesia is actually a predominantly Muslim country, about 87% Muslim. There are only 3% Catholics in Indonesia, and yet
they really want to know about Catholic parenting.
Well,
so they
to think, you know, because we've always thought of this book not just as a parenting book, but really as a kind of a practical theology book that talks about how to evangelize the culture through family life. And it's really exciting to think that the Parenting with Grace could be making a difference both in the lives of Catholic families in Indonesia as well as the larger culture. So
we're grateful for that, and pray for all of those in a culture where, you know, being Catholic is even harder than it is here. So, you know, let's keep everybody in prayer as we try to grow in faith.
With that, let's go back to the phones. Lisa, who's up?
We're talking with Terry, who's listening to EWTN Radio in North Carolina, as we pray that
they're
all safe and dry.
How you doing there, Terry?
Do we have Terry with us?
I think Terry blew away.
Oh, God
forbid.
And we're just going to ask Dan one more time in the booth. Do we have Terry?
We lost line three? Okay, I'm
sorry. Well, we are praying for everyone in North Carolina. And Terry, if you're able to regain that cell connection, go right ahead and give us a call
back.
Yeah,
please do keep all those folks who are in the path of Hurricane Florence in your prayers today. And every day, because it's pretty terrifying what we're seeing in the news.
It really, really is.
877-573-7825. We're taking your calls about making that heart-to-heart connection with the people in your life.
Oh, actually, we're just hearing from Dan, and he's saying we got Terry back. Praise God. So let's talk with Terry, who's listening in North Carolina. Yes?
Hey, yeah.
Yay! We were really worried. I've got to say, you're calling from North Carolina. We were concerned.
No, it's just a little rain right now, so that's good. But you had mentioned earlier about, you know, one person should, in like in a marriage, or shouldn't be just giving, but it should be a mutual, like heart to heart. And I'm not sure how to do that after, like, it's, so we've got, after 30 some years of marriage, and I just, I tend to be the giving person. I'm not sure how to. The other day you had mentioned about trust and how to rebuild trust. There's been a few affairs on my husband's side, and when you mentioned is there concrete evidence of change, and there's not. And but I don't know how to talk about those needs of having concrete evidence of how to have a heart-to-heart about that.
And have you at where are you in the point of conversation? Have you ever been able to say to your husband, honey, I want this marriage to continue and to grow and to flourish, but we really do need to address how to heal this and how to get to a place where we can both see that there's been a concrete difference in how we behave in our marriage and in our lives? Have you gotten there with him, or is it just sort of, we're just going to pretend everything's fine and hope for the best?
I've been pretty much, well, we talk a lot, but I've not had the words. I really appreciate EWTN discovering it this year and More to Life with y'all, and just being able to put into words what I'm experiencing. And so,
okay.
So I think, just to be able. Okay, so I don't know. It's kind of
No. I get you. I mean, I understand what you're asking. I mean, it sounds to me, in part at least, like what you're saying here is that. You know, you haven't really had a clear sense of what you have a right to expect from a healthy marriage, you know, and you know, as a result, you know, you haven't known what kind of boundaries to set or what sort of things to ask for, what kind of support to expect, and that's a really important thing, because, you know, when you're in a marriage like you are, you know, with a husband who has cheated several times, who is struggling to kind of give back as much as you are giving him, you know, that's a marriage that, even if he's not happy, that's a marriage that in a sense kind of works for him, so he's going to be disinclined to make a change on his own. With those situations, the person in your position really has to be clear about what a healthy marriage looks like and what you have a right to expect, and to sort of insist that the marriage start looking like that. Sometimes over and above their spouse's objections, because, again, the relationship kind of works for him the way it is right now. You know, he's getting what he wants from you. He's getting what he wants out of everybody, and he's not having to give a whole lot back. So, you know, in order for this relationship to change, you're going to have a clearer sense of what a healthy relationship looks like, what's appropriate to expect from your husband, what's okay, what kind of boundaries are okay to set. So it's going to be helpful, I think, for you to start working with a good marriage-friendly therapist on your own, even, to begin to figure out how to find your voice and articulate those concerns. To get you started, our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, looks at 8 habits of healthy couples and how they respond to common challenges of communication, of conflict, of meeting getting their needs met and dealing with caring and those kinds of things. I think that book would be tremendously helpful for you in being able to get a clear sense of what a healthy relationship looks like, especially a healthy Catholic relationship. So that's How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. But I also don't think you're going to be able to do it entirely on your own, which is why I think it's going to be important to either find a good local marriage-friendly therapist or contact us through the Pastoral Solutions Institute at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about our telephone counseling practice, so that you can start getting the support you need to help lead your relationship, your husband and this marriage, to a more godly place. Terry, I'm glad you had the courage to call, and I'm glad that you're tuning in to More to Life. I hope that we'll be hearing more from you, either here on the program or at CatholicCounselors.com. And it goes for you listeners as well. God bless, and have a terrific day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.